Good morning, Living Hope. Morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. 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 And amen. I believe that this morning is going to open your eyes to a deeper understanding and prepare you to receive what you've been missing. John the Baptist, when he first starts his ministry, he starts out with this in Matthew 3, verses 1 and 2. And it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Matthew 4, 17. "From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" In Acts 2:38, "And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Do you know that there's over 75 different references to repenting or repentance in the Bible? Do you know that over 53 of them are in the New Testament? Isn't it amazing? John the Baptist starts out his ministry with the words, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Jesus starts out his ministry, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Can you almost see, like, I'm a visual person. I can actually see John the Baptist in the desert saying that. And then he's like running a relay. And Jesus has his hand down. He's like, "Okay, John, give it to me." And John gives it to him. And Jesus says his first words, "Repent." After Jesus comes Peter. Peter's like, "Jesus, I got it. I got it." And what does he preach? "Repent." And the baton gets handed off to Paul. If it's that important that it is the first things that come out of their mouth, then maybe we need to take a little bit deeper look this morning, because I believe we're missing something. Amen? Have you ever heard a word so many times that you thought you knew the meaning of it? Most people associate repentance with displays of emotion that signal regret. But emotional responses of remorse, guilt, or regret are insufficient to produce behavioral change. Most of the time, our emotions only lead to a deeper sense of hopelessness, defeat, and despair. God is looking to restore us. That should put a smile on everyone's face. God is looking to restore you. And this restoration can only be achieved through the power of true repentance. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning that we worshiped you in song, we worshiped you in our giving, and now we come before you and worship you through your word. Holy Spirit, open up our hearts and our minds to a deeper understanding, more than just a surface, but a deep, true understanding of repentance. We thank you, Father God, and we come this morning expectant. Let all that we say and do be your will. Let all that we say and do honor the name of Yeshua. Let all that we say and do bring us closer to Christ-like. And we thank you, and in that mighty name we pray, amen. Amen. So this morning, I want to encourage you and bring you into a deeper understanding of the word repent. I think that when we have that deeper understanding, we might actually find that our previous understanding has led us more astray than it has drawn us closer to God. A place of understanding, true repentance, that will allow you the freedom to walk out all that God has for you and has prepared for you. Do you know that God has a plan for you? Yeah. I'm not going to go on a tangent. The Lord is just downloading right now. And I'm like, Lord, tell me what I need to say. Jeannie and I have said many times that repentance should bear fruit. There should be evidence of repentance, that there should be a personal change and a transformation, that there should be a visible demonstration of a heart that has repented. When you ask people, what does the word repent mean to you? You get many different answers. Many different answers. As I started to investigate this idea of repentance, because I was like, Lord, there's something here that I'm missing. There's something here that there's a nugget in this that if I know that I understand that, it's going to be to my advantage as I move the kingdom forward. What am I missing? What am I missing? It's why we take the time to go back to the original language. If I told you how many Greek Bibles I have and Hebrew Bibles that I have, and I'm not proficient in reading it. I don't want you to, you know, have this idea that I'm super proficient. But I can read it enough where I can do the research and I can find the words and I can break it down. And so many times when we look at a word, because in our English language, we don't get the true meaning. Like, there's over 5 different words for love in Greek. You know that, right? And we have one word. So when I say, oh, I love your hair. Oh, I love that band. Oh, I love that car. Oh, I love that food. We know that it's not like the real, like, passionate love. You know what I'm saying? It's not like intimacy love. I mean, if that's the way you are with your food, there's a problem. We'll need to talk about that later. Oh, I love this food. But when you take something to the original language, there's no mistakes. And there's clarity. So I decided to do some research. What do people think the word repent means? I couldn't put them all on the paper. It's that varied. I'll give you the top 3, though. I feel sorry about something one did or failed to do. That was a big popular one. Number 2. I feel remorse about some act and to ask forgiveness for it. That was number 2. The second popular. Number 3, what does it mean to repent? To walk forward in a church service to formally ask Jesus into one's life. Those were the top 3 answers. And then I knew we were missing something. So before I continue, I've kind of primed you a little bit. What do you think the word repent means? Now, you don't have to say it out. I just want you to think about it, to process it, because so many times we think we know what repent is, and, you know, we're good. We hear it all the time. Oh, you got to repent. Oh, you got to repent. But do we really know what it means? Because if we don't really know what it means, how do we know we're doing it? Well, did I tell you yesterday I decided to run 5 kilometers? Yeah. Yeah, the problem is I don't know what a kilometer is, so in my mind it was this far. And I did it really well. There we go. Ho, ho, ho. Now, does that, and we laugh about that, right? But I want you to think for just a moment. What if our idea of repenting, repentance, or to repent isn't scriptural? We may be believing that we are doing something that we're really not doing, and therefore would not get the results that we're looking for. So what do you think the word repent means? Now, the three verses that I started out this morning with are direct commands to repent. The first one from John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus, his first words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Peter's first words, repent and be baptized. What if we weren't clear of what repent meant? The word repent used by John the Baptist, Jesus, and Peter is a Greek word, metanoeo. That's it right there. And by the way, this is an N in Greek, just so that you know. It's not a misprint, in case you were wondering. Metanoeo. The word meta means to turn. And the word noos refers to your mind. Did that just bring revelation? Because it should have. You see, what we think repent is to turn our behavior. But the word metanoeo means to turn your mind. When these two words are put together to form the word metanoeo, sorry about that, it describes a change of mind or a complete conversion. A change of direction, a new course, and a completely altered behavior in view of life. Ooh, interesting. So this Greek word in the New Testament is a decision to completely change one's thoughts, behavior, and actions, or to entirely turn around in the way one is thinking, believing, or living. First verse that came to my head was Romans 12:2, and it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Ooh. I mean, I got hung up on that because I was thinking to myself, wait a minute. This renewal of my mind is repent. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. God does not anticipate that we will stay as we are. That's one of those like little Selah moments. In case you were wondering that you said yes to Jesus and then all of a sudden he goes, hey, you're good. Just stay the way you are. You're fine. Okay? God does not anticipate that we will stay as we are. He expects transformation. And that is the essence of repentance. Now, maybe our lives have not been transformed because we have a skewed idea of repentance. And because our idea of repentance isn't biblically lined up with original language, maybe we're finding ourselves not in that place of freedom, but only in more despair, hopelessness, frustration. Maybe the reason why we're not seeing the transformation in our lives could be because we haven't embraced the true meaning of repentance. This morning, I'm hoping that we get that deeper understanding and you receive that freedom. There's another word used in the New Testament for repent, and that Greek word is metamelome. That's it up there. And it denotes a change of mind that has accompanying actions. The Greek word portrays a person who is completely overwhelmed with emotions. It's like an emotional thing. That word is only used 5 times, and it's found in the New Testament. And each instant, it expresses sorrow, mourning, or grief. The word depicts a person who is seized with remorse, guilt, or regret. Do you notice that that word is an emotional aspect? It's when you see an event that takes place and someone that breaks down in tears and are sobbing and grieving and just emotionally distraught. But that only is in Scripture 5 times. Metamelomai, can depict remorse, the gripes a person grips a person because of an act of, that he committed that he knows is wrong. It can mean that. Okay? I think we're on slide number 9. Here we go. So this word that's used 5 times, which deals with emotion. It's not the word for repentance that's, you know what I'm saying? So this can depict remorse that grips a person because of an act he committed that he knows is wrong. It can also express the guilt person feels because he knows that he has done wrong and that he will continue to do wrong and that he has no plans to change his course of action. It also can denote the regret a person feels because he is caught doing something wrong. That's that word. In other words, it's this remorse. It can also be guilty, and the guilt could be, well, yeah, I know I did that one wrong, but it also could be guilt, frustration, anger, because you got caught. Not because you want to change, it's because you got caught doing something wrong. Oh, I'm so upset. But I'll go back and still do what I was doing because it's a behavior thing. That's that word. 5 times. This kind of remorse, not yet. This kind of remorse, guilt, or regret produces no change in a person's heart, conduct, or their life. It is just an emotional expression of being caught, inconvenience, or guilt. It doesn't mean that you'll change. It's emotional. How many of you know that your emotions change? Like everybody's hand should be up, right? You're in high school, you're dating. I love you, I hate you, I love you, I hate you. Then you marry them. It's emotions never are true measurements of growth. Our emotions, and that's the problem with a lot of our Christianity, is that it's all based on an emotional reaction. And so when I feel good, things are good with God. But if I don't feel good, things are bad with God. If I, if things are being, I'm being blessed, God loves me. And then when I'm not being blessed, God hates me. And there are people that believe that. God is not hate. God is love. He's absolute love. And the problem is we try to find anything that we can to justify our emotions and how they make us behave. But the sad part is, once it's over and we don't have any more pain, we go back to doing what we were doing. Why? Because it's emotionally based. But that's not the word repent in Scripture. That word repent, this is only five times. And when you read Scriptures and you find those five, you understand why it was about grief and emotion and all that kind of stuff. But all the rest of them, it is an understanding to make the change. Repentance has nothing to do with emotions. That's why when you have people go, oh, God, I'm so sorry. And they should be. But then they come up to the altar, they ask for forgiveness, and 2 weeks from now, they're doing the same stuff that they were doing before they were emotionally stirred up. Because their idea of repentance is an emotionally based decision, they ride an emotionally based roller coaster. I'm great, I'm bad. I'm great, I'm bad. God, I want to get off this ride. Have you ever found yourself there? Probably because your decisions are being made emotionally and not based on God's word. True repentance produces a desire to change that leads us to deliverance, freedom, and salvation in the fullest sense of that word. When we understand repentance and we walk it out, there's deliverance. There's freedom. Your salvation becomes like this open door to understanding of what God did for you. But if it's based emotionally, we never change. It's this deep understanding that produces the desire for the change. I want to stop smoking cigarettes. Oh, I want to stop drinking. Oh, I want to stop doing drugs. Oh, I want to stop pornography. Oh, I want to. Then just stop it. You see, because every time you go back into it, it's not a logical reason, it's an emotional reason. Think about it. I want to do my thing. Well, I'm just so frustrated. You know, I'm really stressed right now. You're stressed right now. Why don't you read some scripture? You won't be stressed. Oh, I just need one more drink. If I could just get one more hit. Oh, if I could just look at the pornography. Like, I'm not offending any of you, right? Because this is reality of life. That's where people are. And the reason they keep going back is because everything that they've ever done has been an emotional decision, not a decision of repentance. I'd love to tell you that I get it all down, but I don't. There are times that I jump into the emotional realm. But it's a lot less than ever it used to be. In fact, it's maybe only once or twice in a year. Because God's still not done with me. Remorse, guilt, or regret only produce a greater emotional roller coaster of hopelessness, defeat, and despair. So we think that by getting our way or this makes me feel good, everything's going to be good. But you know what? When that wears off, and it wears off pretty quick, most of you know that, right? We find ourselves in a place where we're now, verbally beating ourselves up. Mentally, oh, how could God love me? I can't love me. I can't even stop doing that one bad habit. You see, because the bad habit was based in emotional. Not based on the word of God. Not based on the true word of repentance. So we struggle. And we'll continue to struggle. And this is why I just thought, you know what, Lord, this could change your life. Do you understand that? This can change your life. It will change today for you. It'll change your tomorrow. But you have to believe what God says. I want to be clear. I'm not suggesting in any way that true repentance doesn't have a demonstration of emotion or tears. Okay? I know that there have been many people in my lifetime see them come to the altar and truly be repentant. And the sobbing and the weeping and the tears are the realization of how much they've hurt the heart of God. And you know what? That's okay. But don't let the emotional aspect of that be your rudder. Don't let that be what governs you through life, because you will always blow with the wind. You've got to stand on the word of God and understand that repentance, to repent, is a decision that I will make and then follow through. And God will empower me to follow it through. All of us are rowing upstream. You know that? And there are people that are going to hell. They're on the big party boats and you just see them floating down the stream. And this takes a lot. It takes a lot to keep into the word of God. It takes a lot to desire his understanding. And what happens when you stop for a little bit? You start going downstream. And you don't even realize it, right? Because the party boat has the motors on and they're going downstream. You're just kind of floating along. We got to get back and get back in rowing. We got to go, all right, true repentance is a decision. And when I make that decision, God empowers me. So I'm not suggesting in any way that when somebody comes to the altar and they're crying, that it's fake. I'm not saying that. I know that their heart is broken. I know that they're desiring the outpouring of God, the restorative power of God. But I am saying that if all that we're doing is looking for an emotional decision, we could be missing it. There are people that if I showed them something, they just start crying right away. And there's other people that see the same thing and they don't cry at all. So apparently it's not the emotions that dictate repentance. If all that we're doing is looking for an emotional demonstration, we may be missing a deeper understanding of true repentance. And in return, missing the desire to change that leads us to deliverance, freedom, and salvation. So right about now, we've talked about the Greek word to repent. We've talked about the difference between decision and emotion, and you're going, okay, I saw the heads wobbling. I saw you kind of in agreement what we're talking about. Can you just sum it up in a nutshell so that I can walk out of here this morning making that decision that I choose to repent? Okay? So here we go. What's the difference between guilt, remorse, regret, and repentance. Because as I did my research, the majority of our population believe that all four of those are the same thing. Okay? Guilt is a prison that will keep you permanently bound and unchanged. Have you ever felt guilt? Why did I do that? How did I do that again? I always do that. And then you start beating yourself up. And you literally lock yourself in a prison believing that you can never change. Why do I even bother? Why do I go to church? It's guilt. Jesus didn't come to guilt us. But we believe that if we feel guilty enough, we'll repent. If I emotionally feel guilty, then I'll come to that place. But here's the problem. Guilt always leaves me unchanged. Have you ever noticed that you can't guilt your children into good behavior? And all the younger adults are going, yep, they tried, but it didn't work on me. What's the difference? Remorse. Remorse enslaves you in sorrow that engulfs you emotionally, and it leaves you sad, depressed, hopeless, and unchanged. If you walk around always feeling remorseful, you walk around with this depression that's all over you. People don't even want to talk to you. Oh, here they come. I think of remorse as the Eeyore syndrome. Oh, it'll never work. I'll probably lose my tail again. Oh, and they're sad and they're depressed and nobody, I have no friends. If you keep talking like that, you won't have any. Because guess what? Remorse enslaves you. It's just like a prison. Remorse enslaves you in sorrow, and you get engulfed emotionally. Everything in your life is emotions. You can't even talk to somebody without getting emotionally stressed or emotionally charged in a conversation. Know people like that? And here's the problem. Living a life of remorse, depression, I shouldn't have done that. Why did I do that? Why did that happen to me? Why is this on? You are unchanged. You're unchanged. So you live this over and over and over, and nothing in your life ever changed. You can come to the altar all you want, and you feel good that day. Tomorrow, you're back there. See, I knew it doesn't work. Really? Regret. Regret is self-pity that is focused more on your loss than on the pain or loss you caused others or to the heart of God. Have you ever been regretful? The problem with regret is it's self-focusing. Oh, if I didn't do that, this wouldn't have happened to me. Oh, if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have lost this. Oh, if I, shoulda, coulda, woulda. Regret is self-pity. And the problem with regret, it leaves you unchanged. Because in our mind, we believe guilt, remorse, regret, and repentance are the same thing. And they're not. Those three are emotionally charged in your life. Those three will keep you in bondage. Oh, they don't like me. Oh, I don't have any friends. I'll never find the right guy. I'll never find the right woman. Why did I have you kids anyway? Do you know people that live their life like that? And it's because there is not true repentance in their life. It's an emotionally charged decision. And that's how we get hung up. Satan doesn't have to beat you up. You know why? You're doing a great job beating you up. He doesn't have to get involved. You're doing great. So what is repentance? Repentance is a heartfelt quality decision to change. It is a heartfelt quality decision. Remember? Renewing of your mind. It is a decision. And when genuine repentance occurs in a person's heart and mind, you can be sure the Holy Spirit will release his power to effect change in that person's life and lead them to freedom. Lord, I'm going to decide that your word is true. Period. Lord, I am making a decision today to repent from those things that have not honored you. And I ask for your forgiveness by the blood of Jesus. And I receive that forgiveness by the blood of Jesus. And I make a decision. You know, when that scripture said, by the renewing of your mind, it didn't say by the renewing of your emotions. Right? The renewing of your mind. In other words, are we going to believe what God's word says or not? There's no in between. There's no yeah buts. And God's asking you to get your butt out of the way and take his word for what it stands for. It repentance, when I repent, it is a heartfelt, now heart doesn't mean emotion. It means me. Okay? A quality decision to change. If you make a decision, it's done. If you make it as an emotion, it's a crapshoot. I have decided I'm not going to do that anymore. By the power of Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit who dwells in me, I'm not going to make that decision again. And when you get into that situation, you need to say, I have made the quality decision. No, I'm not going there. But because we think we're adults, we go, oh, you know what? Just a little. I'll just go hang out with the guys and, you know, like one beer. There's nothing wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with drinking. Jesus drank wine. I'm not coming down on that. And I'm not coming down on if you decide that you're going to smoke. Is smoking going to make me go to hell? No, it's not. You might smell like you've been there, but. You see, it's you who are playing the emotional games. And you're not free because you don't know what chessboard you're on or a checkerboard you're on. You don't know what game you're playing because it's all about emotions. When we decided that Jesus was number one in our life, we went to church, period. The kids would go, oh, well, you only go to church now because you're a pastor. No, we went to church every single Sunday and church was over an hour away. We drove to Woburn, Massachusetts from here. Not once, four times a week. Sunday service, prayer, music rehearsal, and then a midweek thing that we did. Four times with four kids in the car. Put them in the car. We turn the car on. We drive out of the driveway, and we'd hear those famous words, are we there yet? When Jeannie and I got married, our faith was number one. And if we were going to be a light to anybody, we had to let them know. My mom would say, well, dinner's going to be at noon. I said, well, great. Church doesn't get out till 1. That's when we finally got packed up. And I said, we'll be home at 1. Well, dinner's at noon. Then we'll meet you for dessert. If I want my kids to know that my faith is important, my faith has to come before my kids. How many people go, oh, well, you know, Pastor, the kids were going to have a, you know, a Sunday get-together at 10 o'clock for a little birthday party. We got hit with that. You know what we said? Great, we'll be there at 1. Well, it might be over by then. Okay, we'll bring the gift and drop it off. You want us there, it's not during the time that we're worshiping. If you want to be an example, you have to stand on principle and not emotion. Because if your emotions change every single time, what is that as a witness to your children? Well, you know, when I'm happy, we're going to church. When I'm not happy, we're not going to church. Oh, my hand is killing me from last night. It's not church, it's last night. The decisions that we're making, who we interact with, how we interact with. It's why we have struggle with this. So repentance is a heartfelt quality decision to change. And when you make that decision, God will empower you to follow it through. Because it's not an emotional decision. How many of you ever heard that love is not an emotional decision? We choose to love. We choose to love. Jeannie and I, we've had some high volume discussions. Oh, don't look at me like you've never had one of those. Oh, you. You know where liars go? Washington, D.C. But there have been times where Jeannie and I have had a high volume discussion, and she says, I love you, but right now I don't like you. See, the choice to stay together, the choice to love each other is that. It is a decision, not an emotion. Because if you're making your relationships based on emotion, it's like, oh, I love you, and now I don't love you, so that's why we're not together anymore. And some of you are thinking, where were you before I started dating? Why didn't you tell me this? The Holy Spirit will empower you. He will empower you when you make the decision to repent. And it's not about ooh and the fuzzies. It's a decision. Does that make a difference on how you've walked your life all these years now? I can't tell you how many times I've come to the altar through my whole time of knowing Jesus. I truly gave my life to the Lord. I think I was 17 years old. I remember the place, the church it was in. I just remember. And there was emotional roller coasters. The battle was between what I wanted and what God wanted, my emotions and how I felt. God, you just don't understand. You got it, right? Okay. Like some of you looking at me like, I don't know what your problem is, Pastor. I've never had that. Okay. So, here's my questions to end. How many of us are tired of living in guilt, remorse, and regret? Okay. How many of you desire true freedom? Okay. We find that true freedom through true repentance. This morning, I'm hoping that you have a deeper understanding of repentance and a clearer understanding of what repentance is and is not. Amen? Let's pray. Thank you. Now, you give the Lord a hand clap. That's okay. Yeah, you give it to the Lord. Amen. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Holy Spirit, we desire to be restored. A restoration that can only be achieved through the power of true repentance. You have revealed to us this morning a deeper understanding of true repentance. A repentance that will allow us the freedom to walk out all that you have for us and have prepared for us. Lord, we are not embracing the emotional responses of remorse, guilt, or regret, for these do not produce behavioral change. They only lead to a deeper sense of hopelessness, defeat, and despair. True repentance is a mental choice to leave what is displeasing to you, God, and to turn toward you with all our heart and mind as we choose to follow Jesus with a desire to change that leads us to deliverance, freedom, and salvation. This morning as we pray, I'm going to ask if you would like to rededicate your life to the Lord, rededicating or even giving your life to the Lord for the first time. I want you to repeat this after me. Dear Lord, I believe that you died on the cross for me to save me, that you rose again, and that you are alive today. You did what I could not do for myself. I admit that I am a sinner. I have done many things that don't please you. I have lived my life for myself. I am sorry, and I repent for my sinful life. I ask you to forgive me. I come to you now and ask you to take control of my life. I give my life to you and accept your free gift of salvation. Help me to live every day in a way that pleases you. I love you, Lord, and I thank you that I will spend all eternity with you. Amen. And I want to declare and decree right now, boldly say this out. Today I choose to repent. I choose to make a heartfelt quality decision to change. Holy Spirit, I receive your power to affect this change in my life as you lead me to true freedom through true repentance. In Yeshua's name, amen. Can we give the Lord a hand clap? Amen. I pray this morning that this becomes a revelation for you. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to go back and forth with this emotional thing. We got to get control of that. But this understanding is the key to unlock your door so that you can have that freedom that comes through true repentance. And to have a deeper understanding so that when we talk about repentance, we now line ourselves scripturally to what that means. Because God's word brings freedom. Amen. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time that we have together. I ask for your shalom peace. I ask for your power and your protection and your provision as we go from this place. May all that we say and do be the Father's will. May all that we say and do bring honor and glory to the name of Yeshua as we choose to be Christ-like. And in that name we pray, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you and shalom.